This is episode 54 of the Lost Trail Runner podcast, and I'm going to start off with an update from Carlos the Running Jackal and some feedback from Carlos. He's from Victoria in British Columbia.
Hello, this is Carlos the Running Jackal from Victoria. This weekend I ran 40 miles from Cold River across one watershed down another to Tarsus. On the coast, on the west coast, of Vancouver Island. 40 miles of logging road is quite a run. I mean, I'm glad that I did it. I have done it in the past, and I've done it a lot quicker than I did it this last time. But I was with a friend, and he was not really trained for this 40-mile run. He's more of a 40K guy. He's a good marathon runner, and he's done Ironman. But he has a young family, so he's been somewhat, held back with his training. But we had a lot of fun, and my video's up on YouTube. I think I'm going to post it to Runcast TV tonight. My next race is going to be in Kelowna. I'm going to be running 50 miles. So the 40-mile run was kind of like a confidence booster, let's say. So I got my hydration plan pretty well organized, and I've got my nutrition pretty well sorted out. It's going to be a similar run in Kelowna. Once I get up to the Myra, up to the Kettle Valley Railway, it's going to be flat, pretty flat. I have to do about, 60 kilometers on the flat up high, and then about 10 kilometers to get there and 10 kilometers to get back. This year, there's going to be quite a lot of my friends from Vancouver running in that race. So I'm hoping after I fly into Kelowna and meet Bob, Kelowna girl, that I'll be able to get a ride back to Vancouver and then make my way by ferry back to Victoria on Vancouver Island. I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast, Ron. I'm very pleased with the last one that you did when you managed to get two or three other guys and gals in on your audio. Must be very difficult to get three or four people while they're running to talk and hear them all. But you did pretty well, and I found it interesting. I mean, we're all trying to, let's say, think outside the box or stretch the envelope or increase the exposure to our virtual running community, and this is one great way of doing it. Keep up the good work, and I'll get back to you pretty soon. I think this Skype thing is going to really take off when they will have a video Skype link. Good night, Ron, and I'll keep in touch. Bye bye.
As I mentioned previously, this is episode 54 of the Lost Trail Runner podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening. This segment of my podcast is going to be called Workout Corner, and it'll be the section where I go over either information and training plans, workouts that I do, similar things like that. And this first one is going to be on Jeff Galloway's Magic Mile. In his book, 5K running, 5K, 10K running. He has it spelled out, the warm-ups, the cool-downs, how to do the magic mile and all that. And the way I do them is a little bit different than what he suggests because I'm not doing my magic miles on a track, and that's where he suggests you do them. I use my Garmin and usually run them either at Stone Mountain or at Lilburn Park on the trail or just on the roads because it's more convenient. So what I'm going to do is go to his book, give you what he says to do, and then I'll tell you what I do. And hopefully they kind of complement each other. So in his book, which is called Galloway's 5K/10K Running, on page 29, he has how to do the magic mile time trial. It goes, 1, go to the track or other accurately measured course. 1 mile is 4 laps around a track. 2, warm up by walking for 5 minutes, then running a minute, and walking a minute, then jogging an easy 800 meter, and then in parentheses, 1/2 mile or 2 laps around the track. 3, do 4 acceleration gliders. If desired, you can do 4 cadence drills. Both are described in the drills chapter of this book. 4, walk for 3 to 4 minutes. 5, start your measured mile at a normal running pace and within 50 to 100 steps increase up to the fast pace for you, but not all out. Use walk break suggestions in this chapter or run the way you want. Keep the watch running even on walk breaks and stop it after the 4th lap. 6, on your first magic mile, don't run all out from the start, just run faster than you normally run. 7, warm down by reversing the warm up. 8, a school track is the best venue. Don't use treadmills because they tend to be notoriously uncalibrated and often tell you that you ran farther or faster than you really did. Most of the GPS or accelerometer devices will provide a fairly accurate measurement, but the track is best. 9, on each successive magic mile, try to adjust pace in order to run a faster time on each successive one. 10, use the formula below to see what time is predicted in the goal race. And then he has what's called Galloway's Performance Predictor. And it says, 1, run your magic mile time trial, 4 laps around the track. 2A, compute your current per mile pace in a hard 5K by adding 33 seconds. 2B, compute your current per mile pace in a hard 10K by multiplying by 1.15. And then it says, suggested long run pace, add 3 minutes and 30 seconds to predicted 5K or 10K pace. You will run slower than this if you wish. You can run slower than this if you wish. And he has an example. If you did a mile time for your magic mile of 10 minutes, then your current 5K ability would be 10:33 pace because you add 33 seconds to that per mile pace you did in your magic mile. And then your 10K current ability, you multiply by 1.15. That gives you an 11:30 mile for a hard 10K. And then on your long run pace suggestions, by adding 3:30 to each, you know, per minute mile, that would give you a 15 minute per mile 10K long run and a 14:03 per minute mile for 5K long run. And it's okay to run slower than that for long runs. So that's how he suggests doing magic miles. The way I do it, like the most recent one I did, the overall distance for the workout was supposed to be 5 miles. So it had a 2 miles worth of warm-up and 2 miles worth of cool-down before and after that magic mile. And what I do is I set my gym boss on either a 3-in-1 pattern or a 2-in-1 pattern and just do like an easy run to warm up before I do my magic mile. That way I get my 2 miles in, then I can do my magic mile, and then I get 2 miles in at the end for cool down for a total of 5 miles. I hope that is as effective as doing it the way he suggests. I like doing it that way, and it works for me, I feel. And I still have that magic mile to use for predicting pace. So I hope that made sense, and this is the conclusion of my first workout corner. This afternoon I went on a run and I recorded a recap of my Xterra Deep South 15K trail race last Saturday. I hope you enjoy it. Well, today I'm doing another recovery run. I originally had planned to do a magic mile workout, but when I got out here to Stone Mountain to run today, I realized I wasn't ready to do another workout. So I decided just to go ahead and do a 2-in-1 run for however many miles I end up doing. And get my toe and my legs recovered from the Xterra race last weekend. So what I'll do is, while I'm doing this recovery run, is give you a race recap podcast on how my race went. Well, as you know, if you listen to podcast 53, that I ran a workout over at Mountain Park doing a 1-in-1 routine to see how my toe felt. So I tried to determine whether I wanted to run the Xterra 15K race on June 5th, Saturday morning. And during that short, slow workout over at Mountain Park, my toe didn't feel that bad, so I figured, well, I'll take another day off on Friday, because I did that experiment run on Thursday. Take Friday off and then decide whether I'm going to head down to Dosset Trails to do the Xterra race on Saturday morning. So what I decided to do on Friday evening was just go ahead and get all my gear ready, have it set out. So if I decided to get up early in the morning and head out, I would already be all set up and I wouldn't be in a panic trying to get ready to leave. And also that Friday night, I was talking to my wife and I asked her if she'd be interested in going down there with me. It's very unusual that she would go to a race with me, but she said yes, she'd like to go. Once she said yes, she'd go, that pretty much cinched it for me that I was going to go ahead and go down there regardless. I could go to Dosset Trails Saturday morning, go ahead and pick up my race number and my goodie bag, and then go out and chug around on the trails a little bit before the race and see how my foot felt and decide then if I wanted to run the race or not. And if I decided that it wasn't going to work out, my wife and I could just do a little sightseeing tour. Got up at 5:00 Saturday morning, took my shower, had a little breakfast, packed up, and we headed out. And normally when I go down to Jackson to that race, I go down the expressway, which is, I guess, the longer way to go, but it's fairly quick. But I decided what we'd do is use the Garmin GPS in my car and go whatever route it said to go. Well, I think it picked the shortest distance, and that meant we were going to go on local roads the whole way. And since we were leaving fairly early and the race didn't start till 8:30, I felt confident that we'd be there in plenty of time for the race. So we headed out and went and got gas. Then we started following the GPS track, and it took us down to Interstate 20 and over past the Conyers, and then we turned off 20 and ended up on country roads all the way down to Jackson. It was a lot less stressful than riding on an expressway. So thank Garmin for that. And we got down to Dasset Trails about 7:30, which meant I had an hour before the race start. So I went and picked up my number, pinned it on my shirt. I took some Endura lights, two of them, and I'll go into that later. And then I took off for a short warm-up run on the little nature trail that was there, and as a test to see how my toe was going to hold up. And I was wearing my Brooks Adrenaline ASRs, my first pair I bought, which I think are threes. They're a gray color. And I had them, the shoestring cinched down pretty tight because I didn't want my foot to slide forward during the race and have my big toe hit the front of my shoe. So I figured that would really be a pain the whole race. I'd rather have tight shoes. So, cinched them down, did my little run. Everything seemed to be working good. So I came back to the car, told my wife I was gonna run the race. She decided what she'd do is go check out Dasset Trails. They have nature trails, and it's a nice little park besides the mountain bike trails that are there. I went and lined up in the back of the pack for the race start, and the start was right at 8:30. There's a big field that's mowed that the cars park in, and where they have the check-in tent and everything set up, and you run around the border of that field to start, which is probably maybe 3/10 of a mile around, and then you head off down a dirt road for a little ways, and you cut into the trails about at the half mile mark. And I was feeling pretty good chugging along there. So I wasn't running fast. I was near the back of the pack, and I was just running and having a good time. And I had decided what I'd do is stop at the first aid station. Not the first aid station, but the first water stop, I guess you'd call it. And get a drink and then switch to my Galloway 3-in-1 run-walk pattern. So as I approached the first aid station, it was at about the 2-mile mark. I was feeling really good. And I decided what I'd do is just get a drink of water and continue running. The next aid station was at about 4 miles. So that's what I did. I ran to the second aid station. And of course, this whole time, I was really checking the trail ahead of me for roots, rocks, and stumps, because those were the enemy of my big toe, and I didn't want to stub my toe again and end up having to quit the race. So as I came into the aid station, I got a cup of water, pushed the button on my Gym Boss, which was set for 1 and 3, which meant I had to start out with a 1-minute walk. So I walked, drank my water for that minute, and got ready to take off running. And I ran that pattern for the rest of the race. And Dasset Trails is a really good trail system. Has a little bit of everything as far as technical trails, a little bit wider sections, a lot of uphill, a lot of downhill. Not humongous uphills, but there were some ones you had to grind out. Over 3,200 feet of ascent and close to 3,300 feet of descent on the 9.3 miles. So there was a considerable uphill and downhill. There weren't any really long ones, but enough to make you suffer. And the downhills for me were more troublesome. No, they weren't really more troublesome, but in my mind, I thought they may be because of, I kept worrying about maybe my foot sliding in my shoe and my big toe hitting the front of the toe box. Fortunately, that never happened because of me having the shoestrings cinched down tight enough. I just felt good the whole time I was running. Came up on a few people doing my 3-in-1, and they said, "What pattern are you doing?" I said, "Run 3, walk 1. And some of them said, "Maybe they'll switch and follow me." So I used that pattern for the whole rest of the race. And what always surprises me is when I first started doing it, I'd run past people and then they'd go back by me. And then as the race progressed, as I'd run by them, they'd fail to catch back up with me again. And then pretty soon, I'm just passing people and nobody catches back up. And I was going fine doing that and enjoying the trail. And the third water stop was at the 7.4, 7.5 mile mark, I guess, in that range. And I got water there. I'm still feeling pretty good. And you know how you kind of space out sometimes during a race when you're in a groove or whatever? Well, I got into one of those in about 8 miles. The inevitable happened. I stubbed my toe again. Thought I was gonna die. Hurt, oh, just brought tears to my eyes. But I realized I only had a little over a mile left to go. I figured, well, the only thing I can do is just go ahead and gut it out. And I just kept running. And slowly my toe started feeling better. And I can't say I totally got over it because it still hurts, but it wasn't a race-stopping event as I thought it was gonna be. But then around half a mile left in the race, I started to get a cramp in my shin. My left shin, not my right. And it was making like my ankle turn. But I found that if I kept running, it didn't bother me as bad as if I stopped and walked because of the cramp. And I just kept trying to keep my ankle straight and got my way through it. So that's what I did. So those were the only two incidents in the race, and they were near the end, which was good. So I was able to finish the race a couple of minutes faster than I did last year. And the most exciting part to me is I won my age group, and the two people that finished behind me were the two people that had been doing the series and were in first and second place overall. So I beat both of them. I beat the second place guy in the race in my age group by close to 6 minutes, and the third place guy by like 24 minutes. So I really had a good race, even with another stubbed toe and cramps. So I was glad my wife came with me because she got to drive the car on the way home and I got to rest. Well, that's the end of my race report for the Xterra race, and it's also the end of the podcast. I do have some email feedback I'd like to go over. I also have one more short Skype message to play, and then that'll be the end of my podcast. I got email from Tim, commonly known as Virtual for now on Twitter. I wanted to thank him for suggesting that I put an RSS feed on my blog. I've done that and it should make it easier for people to subscribe to my podcast. He also suggested that I put Google Voice on my blog to make it easier for people to call in, and I'm looking into that now. I also got an email from Tim C. I'm not going to use his last name because I don't have his permission. And he wrote, "Just found your podcast and enjoy listening to the open dialogue during your runs. I grew up in Lilburn, and listening to you describe your runs in the area brings back wonderful memories of a much less developed and congested area. I moved to Tennessee 3 years ago and have added trail running. I see you run the Peachtree. I have run it the last 22 years and will be there in a month, time group 1A. I volunteer in the time group and hold the time group rope. If you are in the time group, give me a shout. Thanks for creating and issuing the podcast, Tim C." Thanks, Tim, for the email. I'm going to be running Peachtree also. I've run it for 30, I've lost track now. I think this will be my 32nd time. But I think I'm farther back than time group 1A now. I've slowly worked my way back from sub-seated to probably time group 2. But they've changed the categories, so I don't know exactly where I am now. So I probably won't see you because you'll be farther up ahead than me. But good luck in the race. I also got a short Skype call from Samantha. I think she was just testing it out to see how it worked. Here it is.
"Hey, Ron, this is Samantha. It was great meeting you on Memorial Day and running with you and the rest of the guys. Anyway, I was just listening to your podcast, the one before the most recent one, and heard you talking about looking for people to call into your Skype account, so I thought I'd give it a try. So anyway, hope you're having a great week, and good luck in your race on Saturday. Thanks."
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.